Let's go. Top training tips, fitness and nutrition podcast with Miles Halstead from MP Fit Gyms and myonlinefatlosscoach.co.uk.
Welcome to today's podcast, and I have the pleasure of the world record holding man and myth that is Ali Jawad, who I'm sure you saw recently in the Commonwealth Games setting a world record in his weight category of 194 kilo, which by anyone who trains in a gym knows that a triple bodyweight bench is an absolutely outstanding achievement. So welcome, Ali, glad to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
Kicking off, I wanted to sort of give some of the listeners a little bit of background and your chance to tell them a bit of background about yourself. And people who've seen you will know that you've overcome some let's just say struggles in your life and some challenges. I mean, what I want to know, and I'm sure people want to know as well, is how you have overcome, dealt with the struggles and challenges you've faced so far.
If people know my story, I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 2009. And then obviously I've had that to deal with for my whole career. And then obviously the heartbreak in London with the controversy of the referees as well. So I've had a lot of things go against me. But, you know, I've had this dream since I was about 6 years old to try win a Paralympic gold medal. And I just think that, you know, it was never going to be easy. You know, you're always going to have hurdles in life. And my hurdles were the Crohn's and dodgy refereeing decisions. So, you know, I'm still here now and I'm working very hard. You know, 2 years out from the Paralympic Games, and I think things are slowly looking up with the way I'm doing things.
Fabulous. I mean, bench pressing, as we have all been taught, cause obviously this is the thing you excel at in the sporting arena. You know, we've always been taught, and, you know, which, you know, you throw a spanner in the works into all these things, which is, you know, drive through the feet into the floor. And obviously, having no legs, you can't do that. So how do you generate the force you do in bench pressing?
So, yeah, there's a big myth that having legs gives you more stability and more drive for the bench. I really don't believe that. I think actually having legs is a disadvantage because your muscles are they're equally distributed, if you know what I mean. And having no legs means that a lot of my muscle is actually at the top. So I'm top heavy, which means I can actually build a lot more muscle on my upper half. So I don't look like someone that's 56 kilo. My upper half looks like someone that's 80 kilo. So I've got room to get very, very strong and to build muscle where others can't. That's probably why I'm a big bencher without any legs.
Really interesting point, that. I mean, what also as well, I mean, going back to that, I mean, I was going to talk about what makes a champion, nature or nurture. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, to be at the elite level, you have to have some sort of genetic ability. But if you're not training right, dieting right, if your lifestyle is not geared to be, you know, a better athlete, then you're not going to succeed. And I think if you obviously combine it, if you've got a very genetically gifted athlete and he does all the right things, then you're going to give yourself a good chance to perform at the highest level consistently. And I think it's a mixture of the two.
Fab. And what about in terms of, you know, you've achieved some amazing things and obviously recently the world record. Do you think that is because of your particular methods of training? Do you think that's been a major part in your achievement?
I think the way I train for bench is actually it's not very common. A lot of powerlifters, that I tend to see, don't do any more than 3 reps in their training. Where if you look at my training program, there's a lot of volume, a lot of rep ranges are actually between 5 and 8 reps. We actually only reduce that volume like as close to competition as possible. But usually in the prep phase, I'm doing like hypertrophy work, doing loads of volume, and not many people seem to recover from that. But I have this ability to do a lot of volume and then come back within 2 days and do it again, which I think has actually given me a great capacity to actually get strong. Because to get strong, you need to have, well, a foundation for you to have that work in like future cycles. So that, I think that's why I've got a strong bench, because I've got a good foundation to work from.
Yeah, I mean, I've had this argument over years with lots of strength coaches, and I've been to sort of seminars all over the world, people like Charles Poliquin and different, yeah, you know, industry leaders, and I've heard all the different philosophies about volume, and You know, I do know from my particular training, which obviously is nowhere near at the level of yours, but whenever I focus a particular muscle group and hit it with volume, I seem to get better results than... Because I know people still talk about, you know, the Mike Mensa training and those sorts of methods where it's just one set to failure. Yeah. You know, and I myself and lots of people I know have not really had the success. We still believe in a volume approach if you've got enough structured recovery and nutrition and the other factors are there. I mean, you talked about the volume, but do you think then that's got to be coupled with the recovery and the nutrition to be effective?
Oh, most definitely. You know, if, for example, like today, I did like 5 sets of 8 and I'm going to be sore tomorrow. If I don't recover from the session, I'm not going to be able to do it on Wednesday. But volume, what's really good about it is that it gives you a massive capacity, but at the same time, you need to keep your technique. Because obviously, like, when you get to 5, 6, 7 reps, you're going to struggle because you'll be fatiguing. If you can keep your technique under fatigue, then you're more likely to keep your technique under heavy loads. So not only does volume gives you capacity, but it makes you really strict in your technique because you have to keep it because you won't get the reps out then. So it's really good comp practice as well.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's a great tip. Also, as well, you going on to the recovery there, is there any sort of strategies and techniques you use to help your recovery?
Nothing complicated. Obviously, eat after like 20 minutes of exercise. Yeah. Make sure that I, you know, hit all my, you know, macros and, you know, obviously as well, I've got Crohn's disease as well. So my diet is kind of varied around trying to keep me healthy, but at the same time recover, which is, it's a balance, but I'm getting better at it.
In terms of your Crohn's, I mean, for lots of people listening might not understand fully what Crohn's is. They might have ideas about what it is. What does that actually mean with the challenges with your diet?
So what Crohn's is like an inflammation of the digestive system. So basically your immune system attacks you, which causes a lot of complications. So my immune system is non-existent, so I can catch anything. But at the same time, you don't absorb nutrients from food. So how can you not absorb nutrients and recover? You can't. It's impossible. So about 2 years ago, we sat down after London and really looked at the diet as the one thing that could help me like kind of be in remission. And we boiled it down to simple foods that I could digest and help me recover. It's not a complicated diet. It's just very, very strict and I have to have the same meals every day. But I don't really care as long as I'm recovering and, you know, training well.
And in terms of the foods you eat regularly to obviously manage Crohn's, would that be the same for anyone with Crohn's or is it very, very situation specific and person specific?
Well, there's not much literature out there, but a lot of Crohn's sufferers do flare with different things. Like, for example, my flares are not usually food-based, they're usually stress-based. Right. But a lot of sufferers do tend to stay away from some sort of food. But for what I found is, a lot of Crohn's sufferers don't have as strict a diet as I do. And I think if they kind of adopted that approach, they could find that it's helping them. But it's about keeping that discipline and like cooking and preparing your meals and all that. Obviously, I've got time to do it because I'm an elite athlete, it's part of my job. Obviously, other people might not have the time. But I think if they're really serious about kind of helping themselves gain remission, diet is something they need to look at. Because I find that a lot of Crohn's sufferers don't really diet the way I do.
Something else I wanted to touch on, which, you know, one of the guys asked me to ask you was about your mindset around training, good and bad days, how you get over those bad days and still are productive. And I mean, people who've seen you like I have in training know you know you've got a sense of humour. Do you find that helps you? When, how serious are you? You know, what's your mental approach to training?
Well, I've been doing the sport for like 9 years now, and when I was younger, my approach was to be as aggressive as I possibly can, like during big sessions, like get really fired up, get really angry. But then I think after 2012, I kind of really had to look at myself and go, wait a minute, is that really the right approach? And I've tend to find that me being relaxed and, you know, joking and taking the mickey out of people actually works for me, because I know technically I'm okay. And if I'm relaxed, I'm more likely not to lose energy that I would need to lift big weight. And obviously on Saturday, instead of having the Rocky music on, which I usually do, I had normal music on, and I was taking the Mickey backstage. I was laughing, joking in between my lifts, and that's an approach I've never used before, but it actually worked really, really well, because a lot of people have said that, you know, it's the most relaxed they've ever seen me. So I think it's the approach I might kind of adopt from now on, because I saved so much energy by not being fired up.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, the psychological state of flow, as we know it, is almost to be in a peak performance state, but without overexpending energy. Yeah. And you feel that keeping relaxed is helping you do that?
Yeah, but only because, because I can rely on my technique, you know, because technically I'm really good. So I knew that, you know, if I was relaxed, I'm more likely not to actually overthink things. I'm more chilled out, and hopefully I showed that on Saturday.
What tips? I mean, it's Monday today,
yep.
And we all know it's International Chess Monday all around the world in every gym, because nobody trains any other muscle group on a Monday.
Yep.
And you being the bench king that you are, what tips are you going to give the guys who are going to hit the gym tonight, whether it's New York, Sydney or Leeds, wherever it is, and they're going to be benching? What things do you think they should start doing now to improve the bench press?
Well, first thing is, I've been around bench quite a long time, and people tend technically to be very, very, well, dangerous, I'd call it. I call it the motorcycle. So when your elbows are kind of flared out on your bench. Now, to me, biomechanically, I don't get why people would want a bench like that. One, you're putting a lot of strain on your shoulders. Two, you're not activating your lats, which is actually a fixator muscle in the bench press. For me, like, keeping your elbows tucked means that you're safe and you're more efficient to press. And I think, obviously, if you're more efficient, you can get stronger. I think it does reduce injury massively. Like, luckily, I've been competing for 9 years now and I've not had one shoulder problem. That must say something.
And sitting across from me, who sat here recovering from two shoulder surgeries, I wish I'd have known that 10 or 15 years ago. But, you know, you live and learn. You live and learn. All right, so keeping those elbows tucked is one thing they should do. Anything else? Any other tips?
Probably bench regularly. If you want a big bench, you have to lift heavy quite regularly. I'm a big believer in, you know, if you want to lift heavy, you have to lift heavy all the time. Obviously, in reason. Obviously, structured training programs. But practice is, you know, the more you practice, the more you're going to get better. So it depends how much people want to get better at bench. Because I know some of them kind of only come in twice a week and do it. But I think if they're really serious about getting it up, I press four times a week, which is, you know, it was quite difficult for a lot of people. But you get used to it. Your body will always adapt to it.
And I mean, I get to see you. I get the privilege of seeing you training pretty much every day. You know, what I see, and obviously a lot of people might think that you just come in every day a bench press, I see all the rehab, the prehab work, the soft tissue work, the warm-ups. I see all the work you do around the bench press. How many hours a week would you say, training wise, is given up to injury prevention, you know, mobility and all the rest of it?
So about 10 years ago, we had a lot of injury problems within the squad, like loads of shoulder injuries, loads of pec tears. You know, and luckily I've been taught from a young age that, you know, if you can combine physio and prehab with training, obviously with correct technique, then you're more likely to kind of stay injury free. So when Tom came on board with me, he was very big on, if you're not injured, you can train consistently and you can get strong. That was a big thing for him. So the last couple of years, we've been adopting coming in early to the gym, doing my pre-ab stuff, my firm rolling, so my muscles are ready to train. Then obviously having physio once a week just to check me over, you know, just to find little niggles that could potentially be bad in the future, kind of decreasing them. And then obviously an hour and a half before bed, I have to do some firm rolling and exercises as well. So we're talking about probably overall training-wise, I'm probably like 20 hours, like with everything.
And that's a week, 20 hours a week.
Yeah, just dedicating to training and firm rolling and just recovery. Because Tom got this thing where if you're going to spend, you know, 20 hours breaking your body, you should spend 20 hours, you know, repairing it. And I think that's a very good point, because people don't do it.
Yeah, I think most strength athletes at a lower level don't understand that.
No.
I think it's a case of they come in the gym, tear the body to pieces,
and go home.
You know, and then just expect, without putting the recovery strategies in, to be able to hit the gym the next day and wonder why
they're tired,
recovered, or they're tired, the central nervous system's down. you know, they're just not as strong and they don't seem to see that side of things. And that's why I like hearing somebody who's actually at the top of the game telling people, you know, what we sort of try and preach. But obviously, you know, your word carries far more weight because of the success you have, which is fabulous. What about, I mean, you obviously world record, I'm sat here looking at your medal now. You know, what's next for Ali Jawad?
Well, obviously, like, as I said, ever since I was six, I've always wanted to win a Paralympic gold medal. And in London, it was, you know, it was heartbreaking because, you know, I was so close to a medal that, you know, that pretty much got taken away from me. And I think my if I want a legacy in the sport, I've got to, one, bench 200 at this sort of body weight, and two, win a Paralympic gold medal. You know, I don't think, if I retired and not win one, I don't think I'll ever really have a true legacy. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, I would need to have that legacy.
You know, I'm sure everyone listening would wish you, you know, not just because of the success you've had, because of the person you are, all the success in the world moving forwards. For people who want to find out more about Ali Jawad and your methods and what you do and keep up to date, where do they need to go to find you?
So, if you like my, soon I'm launching my own workshops called Sir Benchalot, obviously. It'll cover,
seems to fit.
Yeah, so it covers everything from like technique, training philosophies, training programs, just everything you want to know about bench press. It'll be included in the workshop, and also I'm offering like writing training programs as well for people that want bigger benches. Because I think if I can kind of preach the right way of doing things, then you know, obviously they might kind of, because I see a lot of training programs and I'm thinking, blimey, you know, like, it's so dangerous. And I think if I can preach the right things, and hopefully it, you know, the word will spread that it's the right way of doing it.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people interested in knowing from a world record holder how to bench press and how to build their bench. That goes without saying. Okay, so what about social media as well? Because I know you're on Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, you've got plenty of videos on YouTube. So, you know, please, everybody, you know, look, search out Ali on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and get following the content he puts out there. Because there's some damn good stuff there, and also as well, just simply watching some of his videos, watching the mechanics of his bench press. I think you, just by watching it, you're going to see how it's done and how it should be done. Really, is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with, Ali, as we close for the day?
No, just keep following me and following my journey. And I really do appreciate the support.
Great. Well, I for one would love to thank you and. It's been a pleasure watching you train, and obviously today I've got my hands on a Commonwealth medal, which I've got to say is probably going to be the first and last time in my life I get my hands on one. So, you know, well done, and, you know, we wish you well, and I look forward to seeing your growth moving forwards, Ali.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Top training tips, fitness and nutrition podcast with Miles Halstead from MP Fit Gyms and myonlinefatlosscoach.co.uk.